Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. Let's get this one kicked off with some more Mike M's questions. So let's go back, and we have a question from Dallo Spicer, reliable question giver for the show. He says, any single issue reads that stand out in your memory that you can recommend? Bad Deacon recommended, and that's Sean. What his last name is, Sean Nieprud. He's one of the Valiant guys, recommended Doctor Strange 55, which was a one shot, good and cheap and done in one read. There was an Immortal Hulk one that I can think of very recently. I'll look it up real quick, but it was where Bruce was trying to commit suicide. And it even gave a suicide hotline at the end. I think it was Immortal Hulk Flatline. And it was by Duncan Shalvey, with art by Duncan Shalvey. And he also did the cover art. And nice, good one. Very emotional. Really good story. I'd highly recommend that one for done in one. Any of the Jonah Hex from DC's that Jimmy Palmiotti and Justin Gray did. All fantastic double, not done in ones. You can just pick one up. There are a couple of like arcs that are two issues, but the majority of the series are done in one. It's just like a spaghetti western. You get in, you do the story, and you get out. But there are some themes that it's kind of like an episode of Bull, if you know what that is, or Good Doctor. It's like each episode stands on its own. But there are little themes that kind of link itself to like underlying themes throughout the series that grow the characters. So those are the two that I could think of offhand. I thought the first issue of Second Coming by Mark Russell was one of the best comic books. Yes, it has more issues, but I think the first issue stood alone. Very, very well. So, Second Coming, Volume 1. I love that one. And then any of the Reckless, but those are not really like issue format. Ed Brubaker puts those out as hardcovers, but they read really good. Really excellent done-in-one stories that you get in and get out. There's two Reckless hardcovers out right now. So, I hope that answers your question, Dallo. At least that's what comes to mind right off the bat. Oh, there was a cool Morbius one shot. Really good. It was by Ralph Macchio, who was I don't remember what this was called, but I read it. Was it Bond of Blood? Yeah, it was Bond of Blood, written by Ralph Macchio with Tom Riley. And I think they wanted to get this one shot out before the Morbius movie hit. And it reads really good. It talks about like how he led to the death of his best friend and how he kind of protects this kid growing up, and has to make a deal with Hyde, Mr. Hyde, to try to save this kid's life later on. And it's a really good one shot. So yeah, I gave you a handful there. There's a lot more one shots in previews these days. I don't know why DC and Marvel are doing it, but they seem to be putting out a whole bunch. And what I've read so far, I've been really happy with. So thanks for the question, and we'll dive back into some more questions. Make sure I'm recording. Everything's good. My co-host, Kirk, well, actually, Ronnie asked the next question. From Nerdy Legion, is there a team-up comic that never came out that you'd love to see, character-wise or creator-wise? A team-up comic, like Power Man and Iron Fist? No, that came out. That hasn't come out. Yeah, I'd like to see a Valiant cross-gen crossover. I think that would be fun, and that'll never happen, because of Valiant owns that, and cross-gen. They could potentially do an Ultraverse cross-gen crossover, but they don't like the agreements that were made to the creators on the Ultraverse side, so I don't think that'll ever happen. But that would be an awesome crossover, to have some of the cross-gen properties crossover with there could be like a Roos Batman crossover. That would be cool because you got two badass detectives. Route 66, Phantom Stranger, that would be sweet. Negation Suicide Squad, or something to that effect. Or you could do like Adam Strange Negation because that's very sci-fi oriented. There's the pirate El Cazador, I think it was called. You could do a crossover with DC's Watchmen because they have all those pirate things going on. That could be insane. The Sigil, you could maybe do as a sci-fi crossover with the Ran Thanagar War stuff or the Guardians of the Galaxy. What was the one? There were two that I loved. Meridian. Oh, I loved Meridian. I think Meridian would go well with what is her name? Amethyst. There, Amethyst, Princess of Gem World. I think that would go good. What was the other one? There's so many of them. Way of the Rat, you could team up with Master of Kung Fu or Kung Fu Fighter, Richard Dragon, Bronze Tiger, that could be something like that. There were so many. You could have a Thor and what was the one with the first? Because the first was like the gods type thing, like gods on Earth type thing, families of gods. You could do a Thor crossover with them or Wonder Woman and mess with the Greek gods and or the Viking gods, and that would be sweet. That's all that comes to mind right now. Sojourn, you could do a crossover in the fantasy realm with You could put sword Sojourn on the Savage Land and see what happens there. Yeah, that would be cool. I'd like to see a Harbinger X-Men or Teen Titans. I think that could be sweet. But yeah, hopefully that'll answer your question, Ronnie. Thank you. Martin Ferretti of Nerdy Legion says if exclusive auctions for McFarlane, Liefeld, or Larson Art came up, and you were given first dibs, would you choose or what? Which one would you choose, and what would the auction entail? That a tough one, but I'll tell you right now that it would be between Larson and McFarlane. I love Liefeld stuff, but I would probably go for Larson as my favorite. Any Savage Dragon stuff that I could get my hands on would be sweet. But I'm not like an original art guy, or I'd be doing it already. I'd rather read their stories and adventure. But if I was to go over a page of art, I'd prefer Eric Larson. Now, monetary wise, I think the McFarlane, like if you were to say go with your heart, I'd go with Larson. If you're saying go with my wallet and what would be the smartest, I'd go with McFarlane. That's the way I would go. Aaron Bell from Nerdy Legion says, if you could assemble a creative team with anyone who has ever worked on a comic book, who would you pick to write, draw, ink, color, letter your book? Also, deep dive on the editors if you want. I am not a guy that really gets beyond the art in story. I've been noticing a lot of color art lately when it's really spectacular, but I don't remember a lot of names. In terms of writing, Mark Russell is really high up there. Tom Taylor's up there. Matt Kent is up there. Jeff Lemire's up there. In terms of art, Jeff Lemire's up there. I love Jeff Lemire stuff. Keith Giffen and Scott Koblish inking. Keith Giffen, that would be up there very high. They did OMAC and they did Inferior Five together. In terms of art, McFarlane, obviously, Liefeld, Eric Larson, with any of those writers I just mentioned would be great. Silvestri, I like his stuff a lot. Who's the guy that does Ninja? Eric Krauss? I think that's his name. Ninja versus robots. Ninja robots. I can't remember what it's called. Versus ninjas versus ninjas and robots. Let's see. Yeah, that's Eric Klaus. I like his art a lot. Eric Powell, in terms of writing and art, he's one of my guys I like quite a bit. Going back in the past, Michelini was one of my favorites. He'd be a great writer. Jerry Conway, John Ostrander, Aaron Lopresti on art. I like his art quite a bit. Tom Scholey, one of my favorites. Andrew Peepoy on art. I would love to see like an Andrew Peepoy drawn and written Angel and Ape. I think he'd do a hell of a thing with the DC characters there. Because Angel's real sexy, and then he gets to draw an ape. I think that would be awesome. So, thanks, Aaron, for the question. The Nerdy Legion coming together to help me out with the show. How about that? Do you want? This is from Kirk. He's on my network. He's a co-host on the DC Everything Else. Very knowledgeable guy in war comics. Probably one of the go-to in terms of war comics. He's good at westerns. He's good at like all genres and very obscure stuff. Things you have to send away for mail order. He usually knows that kind of stuff. But he says, do you want more comics receiving widespread distribution, such as Allegiance at Walmart, or stick with the comic shops? I prefer one-stop shopping because I'm lazy. I don't like to work for it. So I don't really care as long as there's a distributor that goes to one place, like DCBS. I'd prefer that. If you'd asked me like 25 years ago, I think I would care more like about growing the audience, but I don't care. I'm getting old and I'm very selfish and I want my life to be easy in terms of getting comics, and I have to struggle with some comics, you know, I have to keep on top of Bad Idea because they're always fucking me over with the promotion and shit, and then I have to worry about, well, how to get this one day book and all this stuff, and it's more stress than it's worth, to be honest. The Walmart books I like, and I'll go out of my way to get them, but I'd prefer if I could just order them online, you know, be lazy like that. I don't mind back issue shopping, but for my new stuff, I like one-stop shopping if I could. So, yeah, if they all went through Diamond, I'd be happy as a consumer. Or if there's a third party that gets all of the distribution and puts them together. Kind of like DCBS or Eric at Cowabunga or Discount Comics. Kirk asks if you could save comics from the DC implosion, would you, or did you like the reduced titles? I would love to save some of those titles in the DC implosion, because you had the Joker that was, it's having success now, but maybe that could have gone on for a long time, and then the Sword and Sorcery books. I think if they had a longer stay, then maybe we would have more Sword and Sorcery books today, so people could latch on. I think the only one that lasted out of that is Warlord. Trying to think of all the books that imploded. There was a Firestorm that issue 6 that never saw the light of day. There were several of them. There was Aquaman. Man, there was a lot of series that just got canceled right out of the DC implosion. Let me see if I can look them up to just talk about them. I'm just remembering the ones out of the top of my head. Implosion titles. Let's see what we got here. DC explosion and implosion. All Star Comics, that was really good because you had, your Earth 2 adventures. Army at War, Batman Family, that was cool because it was an anthology in the dollar books. Battle Classics was a reprint title that got canned. Black Lightning was the other one. If you want to see Black Lightning number 11, you can check out the trade as the trade came out with the canceled title. Claw the Unconqueror, he's always been pretty interesting. He's like Conan, except he's got this wizard put this like gauntlet, this evil demon claw on him, and it. He sometimes loses control and can't control his hand. Doorway to Nightmare. I think that Elvira was one of them. Dynamic Classes was reprints. Firestorm number 5, we talked about that. House of Secrets was merged into the Unexpected. Commandy, the Last Boy on Earth ended. That's a damn shame. Our Fighting Forces, so it was killing a lot of the war comics. Secrets of Haunted House, Showcase 104 was the last of it. Star Hunters, Steal the Indestructible Man. I know that Kirk loves that one because he's got about like 6 copies or 10 copies of number 5. The Witching Hour merged into the Unexpected. Unrelated to the DC implosion, Aquaman, I talked about that one. Challenges of the Unknown, DC Superstars, Freedom Fighters, that was one of my favorite. Karate Kid, I would have liked to seen that last a little longer. Mr. Miracle, Metal Man, that would have been cool. Return of the New Gods, I just read that stuff and talked about it, saying it concluded in Adventure Comics. Secret Society of Supervillains, that was kind of like Captain Comet team up with a bunch of villains, like, and he'd team up with heroes to try to fight the Legion of Doom kind of thing. That was a fun book. Shade the Changing Man, that last issue's published in the omnibus of Steve Ditko. Shazam, Super Team Family and Teen Titans number 53. Welcome Back, Carter. So a lot of good titles were imploded. There were a bunch of unpublished titles too, but I don't understand why they would have done Bucky O'Hare there, because I know that was published by Continuity. Demand Classics, The Deserter, Miss Mystic, that also got published at Continuity. Sorcerer, that was David Michelinie and Bob Layton. Star Slayer, that was published by Pacific and First Comics, so they missed out on a bunch of good ones. Western Classics, that was a reprint book. The Vixen, Manhunter from Mars, and Aquaman, Vigilante, Captain Comet. Yeah, those are secondary features that were supposed to go on. Yeah, it's fascinating to understand comics history and why things happen. Like I said on the previous episode, I'm trying to figure out what happened to my Coven. I sent Rob Liefeld an email. I doubt if I'll get a response, but it was worth a chance, a try. You win the lottery, do you buy a bigger house so you can buy more comics? I would buy a bigger house to take in my current comics and not have to separate from them, but I think I'd keep the course. But if I won the lottery, I might treat myself to like a couple of issues I've always wanted. But I don't think I would go nuts. But it would be nice to have like, you know, 3,500 square feet house that's a rancher with an unfinished or finished basement, and the basement could just be comics. I wonder what Barb would think of that. But anyway, he also asked, which is more likely to kill me, my family or my blood pressure? I hope nothing kills you, Kirk. I hope you live like the Highlander without getting your head cut off. But those are one and the same. Your family probably causes you high blood pressure, so because your kids don't put the toilet paper on the roll. And that's all for the questions, and I will come back with the weekly reads. So thanks. All right, let's do this. The second part, we'll go over the Mike M's weekly reads. And this week, man, I really wished I would have wrote down what the hell I was happening this week, because I only had a handful of books. I only had six. We had one heavy metal. That's a dense read. That takes almost 2 hours to read. There's a lot of material there, in all fairness. But we only had one issue of heavy metal, two Marvel, one Dynamite, one DC, and one Boom. In terms of, I watched a lot. I saw Falcon and Winter Soldier that week. I saw the Wolverine, and I saw the Snyder cut of Justice League. That was a 6-hour movie or something like that. That was l a long movie, so maybe that's where my time went. We'll start at the 3 out of 5s, which means I liked it. We had Vampirella, the Dark Powers. Vampirella joins the superpowers team and trashes a bunch of soldiers that they're after. They are not happy with her because she goes too violent on those soldiers, and kind of like in Jupiter's Legacy, like when the father condemned the son for being too violent. They're not happy with her, so she goes off on her own. Our art is inconsistent, but it has some nice action sequences on the interiors. The story was very interesting, but the cut to the flashback on her discussion with the team before the mission, a little boring. So, gave it a 3 out of 5. We then get into the 4 out of 5s. We got Scratch number 1. This is the Sam Keith version about like a werewolf tale. It is so bizarre and so cool at the same time. And Batman's like the Crypt Keeper. In other words, he's the host of the story. So it was very cool, but it's like a teenage werewolf and living with a bunch of freaks, like from a circus. And this werewolf, sometimes he can't control like when he turns, but so the only time you could tell like when he's not turned that he's different is he can't turn his like arm back. So he'll be like when he's in human form, his arm will be like wolf. So yeah, Scratch number 1 was really good. We had Berserker number 1. This is the Keanu Reeves with Matt Kent story with Ron Gardner art. This is an immortal works with the military to take down enemies with extreme violence. He is starting to remember who he is and has a vibe of the Bloodshot movie as he's trying to remember who he is. There seems to be a doctor that takes care of him after missions that which is very similar to like the doctor, one of the doctors that's in Bloodshot. But yeah, there's not a lot that's unique with Berserker, but it is a hell of a, bloodfest action movie. So I'd recommend it anyway. X-Men Legacy Volume 2, Number 1. Adam is being tracked by Eric the Red. Adam is the third son of the S Scott and I can't think of Havoc's name now. God dang it. Scott and we just saw the movie with them in there. Who's Scott's brother? I know he's Havoc, but I can't think of his name. But anyway, Cyclops and Havoc have a third brother named Adam, and this is the weird series where they let the creators take off on their previous run, and this is a Fabian Nicieza story. So it has a great 90s vibe, and takes place around the time of Jim Lee's X-Men. We have Cable number 50. Robertson and Ladron are crushing it. Donald Pierce and Sebastian Shaw awaken a deity that Apocalypse created, which looks like it's going to bring about the destruction of the humans. Cable and Irene are on the Irene's that reporter I talked about last episode on the trail to try to stop them. We have Heavy Metal 303, and I just say here I've been extremely happy with all the stories in Heavy Metal lately. Ever since Tim Seeley took over as one of the editors, I think it's been clicking with me personally. Lucy was one of the best stories, which was about an ape. Savage Circus is about crazy animals in a train that get released on a city during a heist. Funeral, that was a cool story. That was by Blake. What is her name? I can't think of her name. But Blake Northcutt. That was really good. And it was incredible seeing the art of Bart Sears again on Maiden. It was just amazing. So that week there were only 3 out of 5s and 4 out of 5s. And let's cut to March 22nd through March 28th. So that week there were 23 comics. There were five Source Point Press. One Scout, two Marvel, four Image, two IDW, one Dynamite, four DC, and four Action Lab. We'll start at the 3 out of 5s. We have Chained to the Grave. This is a cowboy is resurrected by his wife because he knows about a treasure that he robbed. It has some action sequences that were very hard to tell what was going on. With the art style, but I do like the concept of what the story was about. It may only get better for me personally. Sonya Versal number 2, Orange Sonya still out to kill Red Sonya. Red Sonya might have had sex, which is very unusual. It was a confusing sequence. I couldn't tell if it really happened or not. And you know her deal with sex. She's not supposed to have sex with a man, unless, well, I guess, or a woman, unless that person defeats her in battle. That's when she could only have sex. Green Sonya is dead. The rest of the Sonyas are brought to hell to face Devil Sonya. We have Rorschach number 1, a 4 out of 5. Overall, Rorschach has been a 5 out of 5. I think I rated the rest of them 5 out of 5s. The scene opens up with the murder of Rorschach and another hero. It is thought. I didn't remember that. It is thought that they were after a politician. Oh, yeah. Okay. There's a female hero and there's Rorschach, and they're like on the. They're at a politician's promotional ceremony, and it looks like they're going to try to kill the politician. It then focuses on the identity of the two characters in costume and who they could be. There could be links to the pirate actor, but yeah, it's really good, really good. And that Rorschach turns out to be like a Steve Ditko type writer. He's a comic book creator. It's crazy. Bug Bites number 3. The kids escape the Bug Chefs and convince the Queen to let them cook for her. She loves it and lets the kids return back to their homes. The cookbook they use is the one from issue number one. Bomb Queen number four, she has sex with Trump right before the election and gives him the shits. She defeats him in the election and uses a satellite laser tech to kill her brother, who is the superhero vice president. She then wakes up from her dream. Like, did it happen or was it Memorex? Black Friday number one, this is from Scout Comics. Strange things happen at a store on Black Friday. They discover strange creatures underneath a toy aisle. Radiant Black, which is turning out to be a 5 out of 5 for me since number three. But this book is one of my favorites now. A down on his luck writer has to go back and live with his parents. He gets the power of a black hole looking jewel. His friend and two cops know his identity. They haven't really explored that two cops anymore in issue three. But his friend and those two cops know his identity, and he has a run-in with Radiant Red, who is robbing banks. We have from IDW Star Wars Adventures, Volume 2, Number 3. This is Qui-Gon and Ben go visit the Wookiees on Life Day to be attacked by the Transdoshians. I think those are like the Bosk-type characters. They take Qui-Gon, and it's up to Ben and Breenon to rescue him. Breenon's a Wookiee. The second story is about a crime family, Morubus, that gets infiltrated by Darth Maul. It looks like Morubus is going to kill Maul, but Maul purposely got captured in order to infiltrate the impenetrable fortress. We have 4 out of 5. Eternals number 3. The resurrection machine is down, and many Eternals are showing up dead. Icarus protects a young boy from some event. It fleshes out Thena, who was with the Deviants for a long time and was a suspect, and now joins the team with Cersei, trying to find out who's behind the murders. We have Aliens number 1 from Marvel Comics. A retired soldier from one of the corporations is trying to preserve the aliens. That is trying to preserve aliens. Retires because he's dying. He goes to Earth to rekindle his relationship with his son. His son only wants the data he has so he can destroy the corporation and infiltrate the space station that he was in charge of. He later pilots a drone to the space station to sabotage the station, and that's the son. We have Scratch 2, 3, and 5. I was missing 4. Zack has trouble controlling changing to a werewolf. Sometimes it is just one arm. We talked about that in the previous episode. He runs into two deformed kids from a nuclear experimentation in the town, and Sage, the caregiver with two eyes that are not aligned, she looks really weird. Together, they find a bunch of the deformed kids and try to rescue a child from a strange-looking creature that turns out to be the grandmother. In the end, Batman, Zack, Sage, and the little girl cannot stop the crazy townsfolk from killing the grandmother. Batman never saw Zack, Sage, and the kids again. We have New Shadowhawk number 5. One Shadowhawk is trying to rescue Chief Reeves, who has been captured. The other is in Brigade with the members Troll, Vanguard, Supreme, Glory, and Roman, and trying to stop major bomb explosions set in major cities. Shadowhawk gets help from the Hotspur and the Junkyard Dogs. Reeves is rescued and then accuses Christina Reed as being Shadowhawk. That was the last 4 out of 5, and then we get into the 5 out of 5s. We have Immortal Hulk Flatline. Hey, it answers the question of what's a good one-shot. This shows the relationship between the Hulk and Banner, and how Banner has tried to kill himself many times, only thwarted by the Hulk changing. It is all shown as an old professor of Bruce tries to flesh out Bruce from the Hulk before she dies. The professor is dying of gamma radiation poisoning. The professor has gamma powers as well, enough to fight the Hulk. We have Touching Evil 4 and 5. This is a power that it's like the touch of death, but it'll only kill somebody that is evil. And it belonged to this one guy who was in prison, and the warden would use his touch to kill other prisoners. And he transfers that power to his attorney. His attorney is old and getting ready to die, and he sends his coworker, a female, over, and he transfers the power to her. And then it gets really corrupt because then everybody's after her and her family because they want to control her and her power. So Touching Evil is really, really awesome. The next 5 out of 5 is called Sweetheart 2 through 5. And Sweetheart is an Action Lab comic, and it's like in the horror genre. There's these weird creatures that grow up with people, like they form an attachment and they try to kill you at your weak points if you're not on guard. And the story opens up of a little girl that loses her father to one of these creatures, and there's different classes of these creatures, and they're all attracted to, like, some of them are attracted to like fat kids that have diabetes and stuff like that, and others are attracted to the skinnier people. And the ones that are more dangerous are the ones that are, going after the heavier set people, and they kill them. But it turns out to be a great story, and it goes through this little girl's life when she turns into an adult, and she's trying to actually capture these creatures and take them out. So, Sweetheart, excellent story, highly recommended from Action Lab. We'll summarize the 5 out of 5s. We have Immortal Hulk Flatline number 1, Touching Evil 4 through 7, and Sweetheart 2 through 5 for that week. So, having said that, I want to wrap this episode up. You've been listening to Mike M's Weekly Reads, available on geekbrunchpodcast.com. And you can find us on Facebook at Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button. On Twitter, at Mike Myers Brunch. Is the best place to get a hold of me. On email, it's mike@comicbooknoise.com. And I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you all from Nerdy Legion and Dallo Spicer and Kirk for all the great questions. I had fun answering them. I hope you like the answers, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you. Peace out. Bye.